We all know that music affects us as human beings in a way that nothing else does. And it struck me again this week as I was watching some of the news footage of Nelson Mandela's death in South Africa, how immediately when people heard that news, they went to his house and they sang in the streets. The African continent has a wonderful tradition of music. They sing for everything. They sing on their way to church. They sing in town meetings. They singing is just a way of life for them. And the next piece is one of those songs. It's not from the country of South Africa. It's from Cameroon. But it is in the same tradition of that wonderful, the coming together of people to sing about what's important to them. So we're going to sing a processional song from the country of Cameroon called Praise, Praise the Lord.
Heavenly call. Hallelujah. to the story of the Jesus child.
The 100th anniversary of a well-known British composer, Benjamin Britten. And he, during the course of his life, I don't remember what year it was, took a trip from England to the United States. And in the days when he did that, the travel had to be by boat. It was slow and it was very rough. And he decided that he was going to write some music on this trip. So he spent the entire trip sitting in his little cabin, writing music. And what he came up with was a fairly large work called A Ceremony of Carols. We're just going to sing one of the sections of The Ceremony of Carols for you this morning. It's called This Little Babe. And the text is in Old English, and you may not be able to understand all of it, so I'd like to read it to you. Maybe they don't have it in here. I'll just read it from the choral text. This little babe, so few days old, is come to rifle Satan's fold. All hell doth at his presence quake, though he himself for cold do shake. And in this weak, unarmed wise, the gates of hell he will surprise. With tears he fights and wins the field. His naked breast stands for a shield. His battering shot are babish cries. His arrows look of weeping eyes. His martial ensigns cold and need, and feeble flesh his warrior steed. His camp is pitched in a stall, his bulwark but a broken wall. The crib his trench, haystacks his stakes. Of shepherds he his muster makes. And thus, as sure his foe to wound, the angel's trump's alarum sound. My soul, with Christ join thou in fight. Stick to the tents that he hath pight. Within his crib is surest ward. This little babe will be thy guard. If thou wilt foil thy foes with joy, then flit not from this heavenly boy, this little babe.
This little babe, so few days old, has come to ride for Satan's fold. Oh, how doth at his presence quake, though he himself for golden shade. For in this week, God armed wise, the gates of hell he will surprise.
This morning, and I always look forward to coming to see my wonderful friend Lydia. She and I worked together for 5 years, and I treasure her friendship, I treasure her godliness, I treasure so many things about her, and I think that your congregation is going to be very fortunate to have Pastor Elijah and Lydia as your senior pastoral couple. I wanted to share with you some of the things that go on in a typical classroom at Mesa Grande. Things that, though I did not go to public school, I don't believe take place in public school. We were discussing the other day in Junior English, which emphasizes American literature all year, the Ralph Waldo Emerson piece, Self-Reliance. And in there, he talks about the fact that God does not work through cowards. And we stopped to pause and consider that for a moment. And Kyle said, that reminds me of the story of Moses in the Bible. And saying, God, I don't want to do this. I don't speak well. Please use my brother Aaron. And God said, Moses, I'm the one who's going to make you do it well. You don't have to do it yourself. And I said, Kyle, I really think that the Holy Spirit brought that thought to your mind. Because I believe that when we're reading, when we're singing, when we're thinking, God sends the Holy Spirit in ways that we don't even expect. And then Catherine raised her hand and she said, but what we have to realize is we may be cowardly at the beginning, but it's only God who can make us courageous. And I said, that is so true. Otherwise, it's just New Age. I can do it all myself. We know one person can make a difference, but it's God who comes into your heart to help you be courageous. And then we went on to talk about, or we have talked about, the sermon of John Edwards from Puritan times, and what his picture of God was like, and what our picture of God is like, and they were able to compare and contrast and think and debate. What do we believe and know about our God to be true? We started talking about metacognition, which is thinking about how we think. And as we talked about that for a while, it reminded me of the Ellen White statement, men should be thinkers, not mere reflectors of other men's thoughts. And my friends, that's what Christian education is about. Teaching our children to think, and that their thinking depends on the Holy Spirit's guidance in their lives. And as I see the kids that come through there, learning to think, learning to depend on God, I say to myself, the future of the church is in wonderful hands. Not just these youth's hands, but the Holy Spirit's hands. And I wanted to share with you one of the essays that Brianna Wren wrote. They were given the topic, you can choose anything you want. They love that topic. And they don't get it very often, so. This was what she chose to say, and I want you to notice and take note of how God is throughout her entire life. So listen for a moment. It's entitled Dreams. The future belongs to those who believe in the beauty of your dreams, said Eleanor Roosevelt. Dreams. We all have them. As children, we might have dreamed of being princesses and meeting our Prince Charming and living happily ever after. As young adults, we might dream about becoming the most popular girl in the class or finding someone special to experience all the excitement of dating with. As adults, we might dream of making enough money to travel the world. And as we grow to become elderly, we might dream and reminisce about our past experiences. Nonetheless, our dreams are a gift from God, which I believe can change our whole outlook on the situation we are in. Dreams can provide an escape from reality. For example, when I was a little girl, I loved Peter Pan. Every night I would wait by my window and dream that Peter Pan would come swooping down to take me to Neverland, where I would experience the adventure of a lifetime. Sadly, he never came. But I just assumed he was too busy fighting Captain Hook or caring for the lost boys, so he simply forgot to stop by and get me. The point is, even though that dream never came true, the thought of Peter Pan coming back for me filled me with excitement and enhanced my imagination that magical worlds we could visit. Don't be afraid to follow your dreams, no matter how unrealistic they may seem. If we look at the story of Joseph, we can see the amazing ways in which God can take our dreams and transform them into reality. Of course, God rarely does things our way, but he often surprises us with both unexpected joys and unexpected disappointments. Joseph had to become a slave and serve time in prison for his dreams to come true. Nonetheless, his dream did come true, and he became one of the most powerful and influential people in all of Egypt. Harriet Tubman once said, "Every great dream begins with a dreamer." Always remember, you have within you the strength, the patience, and the passion to reach for the stars that change the world. Isn't that fabulous? Every great dream begins with a dreamer. Think now of memorable and inspirational people like Steve Jobs, Martin Luther King, Einstein, Thomas Edison, and Rosa Parks. The only thing that stands between our names becoming part of that list of people is the determination and dedication of making our dreams come true. So remember, dream as if you'll live forever, but live as if you're dying today. And you know, Brianna's been brought up in this very church and in our own school. And this year, she said to a friend, "I like this school enough. Why don't you come with me and see if you like it too?" And now we have Emily at our school. And I think, isn't that just what God wants us to do? Find out what's so beautiful and appealing about the life from Him, and then go and say to our friends, "And you come too." So I just want you to know that the Holy Spirit is working on the campus of Mesa Grande Academy, and we're happy to be here with you today.
First one is a medley. It's called Carols of the Nativity, and these are Christmas songs that have to do with the birth of Christ. And we'll let you figure out what they are. I'm sure you will know them. And the second song that we would like to play for you is a very beautiful arrangement of the Christmas hymn, O Little Town of Bethlehem. So we hope you enjoy these first two, Carols of the Nativity and then O Little Town of Bethlehem.
Thank you.
William Bradbury wrote many years ago a tune which we all learned as small children, or at least I did, I'm sure you probably did too. Jesus Loves Me. This is a very beautiful, again, bell arrangement of that piece. I had never heard of this particular arrangement before, and I was talking to my friend Cheryl Smith from the Loma Linda University Church, and she said that she had done this with her group, and she said, it's very beautiful, you ought to try it. And we love it, and we hope that you do too. We're going to finish our morning concert today with Jesus Loves Me, and then a second piece called On This Day Earth Shall Ring. So Jesus Loves Me first. is a piece called On This Day Earth Shall Ring. It comes from one of the very first books of songs that was ever published on a printing press. In 1582, there was a songbook printed called the Pie Canciones, and this Christmas tune was in that book. It's a very typical medieval tune, and this arrangement uses a lot of mallets, and it finishes with a lot of bells ringing, just a glorious sound, and we think forward to the time when Jesus will come and take us to live with him as a result of his coming during the Christmas season. So we have the glorious day to look forward to. On this day, earth shall ring.
Beautiful. Thank you so much. And I want to say thank you to all the young people and to all the practice that you put in. This precision, this music represents a lot of work, and we just appreciate so much that you brought your music to us, your inspiration today, and it was great. The meditation, the children's feature, and all, we just want to thank you for that. And for being with us. And we remind you that there's in the bulletin something about tonight. I forgot to mention it earlier, but there's a fundraiser at Barnes & Noble that you can help out the school as well. Let's bow our heads for our benediction. Our gracious Father, we are so thankful for the privilege of music. We're so thankful for these young people who have practiced, who have given of their talents for our inspiration and enjoyment today. We're thankful for our school and that a big portion of our church budget goes to support this school as we invest in youth and young people and in the future of our church. And today we get a little payback of that investment, and we're thankful for it. We pray that you will be with the faculty and staff and the administration, as well as the students at Mesa Grande Academy, and pray that you will bless them. And we pray at this Christmas season that Christ will not just be born in our hearts anew, but that we will look forward to his coming and to that day that we've just heard about, and pray that each one of us will be ready to see Jesus as we look into our Savior's face. Dismiss us now with your blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.